This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man wala. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back for another live session. Alhamdulillah, I'm actually quite proud of myself. This is the third week in a row that we've been consistent with these live sessions. So it's good to be doing something consistently online, alhamdulillah. So for those of you who are joining us live, I always love to hear where you're from, where you're joining us from. So in the chat, make sure to mention where you're joining us from. And also, I do like to make these like a discussion. So I'm going to answer the question that is posed today. I'm going to give you my perspective on it, but I want to hear your perspective on it also. So any comments, any questions, drop them in the live chat and I'll try my best to address them, inshallah ta'ala. So we're going to keep it kind of light. We're going to keep it as a discussion, inshallah. So let's get started with today's prompt or today's question. So Imad from Sri Lanka, Jazakallah khair. It is good to have you here. Alhamdulillah. I saw you were one of the early people who joined before the live stream started. Marwa from London, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Good to have you here from London. I always find a lot of people join from Europe, from the UK, and I tried to make this one a little bit earlier so we can have people. I know there's people even in like Pakistan and India and that part of the world who like to join in as well. So it's good to have those people. So I try to make it a little bit earlier today, and I'm going to try and vary the time. But it's going to be on Sundays, inshallah. Zuhair from Dallas. Ahlan wa sahlan, Zuhair. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Saria from Bangladesh. Mashallah. Beautiful. All across the world. It's good to have all of you here. And I'm looking forward to this discussion. Can we ask any questions on any topic? So in general, I like the questions to be related to the topic itself so we can have this discussion. And as I mentioned last time, I'm going to do a specific like open Q&A. One of these live sessions, inshallah. But for today's session, just try to keep it related to the topics so we can have this discussion. Zainab from Kuwait, mashallah, ahlan wa sahlan. SSSAAA from Chicago, from Chi-Town. Alhamdulillah, good to have you as well. Alhamdulillah. All right. So why I don't do DMs and private messaging? So this is a question that I actually get a lot, subhanAllah. Fawad from Jersey. Good to have you. Ghassan from Sweden. Alhamdulillah. Beautiful. So this is a question that I get quite a bit, actually. On my Instagram, I don't do DMs. On my Twitter, I don't do, I think they're called DMs as well, direct messages. I don't do any type of private messaging on my Facebook, so on and so forth. So people always ask, like, why can't we just message you and ask you a question? You know, like someone's dealing with something and they're like, you know, I need your advice. I'm like dealing with a problem and I need your advice on something. Like, why can't I just hit you up? Or someone has like a fiqh question, like, is this halal or not? Or is it okay to do this or not? Why can't I just hit you up and ask you a question directly? Why don't I have access to you like that? And subhanAllah, just right off the bat, sometimes people, you know, and I'm not really here to judge anyone's heart or anything like that, but sometimes people will judge my heart and they'll be like, you know, you think you're too good to like respond to messages or something like that, or you know, like you think you're so famous and you can't, and wallahi, that is not it at all. I don't think I am above anyone. Only Allah knows our true value, subhanAllah, may Allah protect us. That is not the reason. So I want to clarify my reasons for doing so. A couple of different reasons. Let me start off with probably I guess there's two main reasons. One of the reasons is that I don't believe that answering questions through private messaging is the best thing for me. So I want to first of all say that this is a personal issue for me. It may or may not apply to other people. First of all, there is the very big glaring issue, and we can call it, subhanAllah, the elephant in the room of speaking to someone of the opposite gender who is not mahram, right? Who you're not mahram to. And so that is the natural outcome of it, you know? And you know, sometimes people say like, why can't you do brothers only? Well, it's really hard to control that and say like, oh, I'm only going to answer questions from brothers. And that has other problems, which I'll get to in a bit. But in general, right? So the issue, one of the issues is I don't want to be having private conversations with someone that I'm not related to for a number of reasons. But one of the big reasons is the issue of khalwa. Now, what is khalwa? Khalwa is a concept in Islam which is basically means being alone with someone who you're not mahram to. And we have many evidences for this. One of the evidence of this is the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, in which he said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لا يخلون رجل بامرأة إلا كان ثالثهما الشيطان. He said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a man is not alone with a woman except the third of them is the shaytan, meaning they're never, if they're alone, then the shaytan will always accompany them. And this hadith is sahih, inshallah ta'ala, is mentioned in Sunan at-Tirmidhi, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, a lot of times we interpret that, people see that and they're like, well, that's being alone in a room or being alone, physically alone with someone, which is correct. We're not supposed to be physically isolated with someone that we're not related to in that way, to protect ourselves from the attacks of the shaytan. And a person may say, well, I trust myself, you know, I know I'm not going to like say anything bad, or I know I'm not going to be tempted, and so on and so forth. Well, that, you know, that's a hard thing to really say, subhanAllah. But even if a person has full confidence in themselves, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, actually, he tells us of the shaytan, because a person from themselves may not have a bad intention. But as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانِ يَجْرِ مِنَ الْإِنسَانِ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ, that the shaytan flows through human beings like the flowing of blood. And meaning, and so the Prophet ﷺ elaborated on that, and he said, the shaytan can put a bad thought into your heart, right? So a person may not have a bad intention. They themselves, you know, they may be talking to someone of the opposite gender and they're, you know, nothing there in their heart. They went in with a very good intention, but subhanAllah, something creeps in from the shaytan. And then a person puts themselves in a position where, you know, they have to really fight that desire, or they have to fight that temptation. And you may be able to be victorious in that fight and you may not. And Allah only knows. So I choose to not put myself in that position. And look, as I said, this applies to being alone with someone physically, like in person. But also a lot of times people forget that this also applies to being alone with someone in a conversation. So private messaging, or like WhatsApp, or like messages and all that, that is also a conversation. And that is also being alone with someone, because there's no one else who has access to this conversation. So this is not a public conversation that is happening. This is a private conversation that is happening. And so that issue of khalwa, being alone with someone, applies to our conversations as well, whether it be on the telephone, whether it be, you know, messaging, whether it be direct message, even email, subhanAllah. I think we should be careful even when it comes to emails. And so for this reason, I don't want to open that door at all, right? So inshallah, I have a good intention and I'm not judging anyone's intention. Someone who may ask a question or send a message, it's not my place to judge their intention. Inshallah, they have the best of intentions and surely they need help, right? But the issue is that is opening the door for something that very much has the potential for leading to something which is haram or something which is forbidden. Let alone, we live in the Me Too era, right? The hashtag Me Too era, where a lot of times there's different interpretations of the same conversation. And this is one of the problems with the whole Me Too, one of the issues, I should say, that has come to light with the whole Me Too era. And that is that you may have two people who have different interpretations of the same incident. A person may say, oh, I wasn't flirting. I wouldn't mean anything by it. I was just being nice. I was just being polite. And the other person says, no, they were definitely flirting with me, right? They were definitely like coming on to me, or they were being improper with me, right? As a Muslim, we don't put ourselves in that situation to begin with, right? We don't put ourselves in a situation where we would be isolated, where now it's just you and them, and now it's your word against their word, right? So we don't want to put ourselves in that position. I certainly don't want to put myself in that position. And that's why I don't open that door from the get-go. I do have an email that is checked by someone. I have a bookings email. If you really want to get in touch with me on my Facebook page, on my Instagram page, on my Twitter, it's bookings@saadtaslim.com. Very simple. bookings@saadtaslim.com. If you want to really reach out to me, there's a third party who will read that email and you know, discuss it with me or forward it to me or whatever it may be. So I haven't completely cut off. That's one of the big issues, right? So I would rather protect myself and not put myself in that position. And over the years, you know, I've been online now for probably a decade now. And I, you know, subhanAllah, it seems like a long time. But I have, you know, very quickly and very early on in my online presence, I decided this, that this is what it should be. Because even in the beginning, you know, when I would receive those private messages, I was just very uncomfortable with them. Even though, you know, inshallah, the person asking the question did not have anything, no bad intention or anything like that. But it's just weird to be alone in a conversation with someone who you really don't know, or, you know, they're, you just don't know. So I'd rather take myself out of that situation. And I like to practice what I preach. I try my best, you know, to practice what I preach. I tell a lot of young brothers and sisters, a lot of times fitna starts from that conversation. Someone DMs you, you DM somebody, trying to slide into somebody's DMs, or someone's trying to slide into your DMs, right? It's sometimes it can start very innocently. And a lot of times I've seen cases where it's like, you know, I'm just trying to talk to this person. Even a person may say, for the sake of marriage, right? I'm interested in this person, so I hit them up, you know, on Instagram or whatever. But that doesn't always, and a lot of times it does not work out well, subhanAllah, because a lot of times, you know, when that private conversation happens, we may be making an inquiry for marriage, but when feelings get involved, when a person gets attached, you know, it turns into love and infatuation. And then, you know, marriage and stuff just becomes secondary. It's just out of the picture. And actually people end up getting hurt. You know, a lot of times, you know, I've seen sisters who, you know, get hit up by a brother, and the brother's like, oh, I'm getting in touch with you because I'm interested in marriage. And then like 6 months later, like there's there's some talk of marriage, but he was just trying to, like, you know, get to know her, maybe, like, whatever, right? May Allah protect us. And so I tell young brothers and sisters, I'm like, look, if you're interested in somebody, get a third party, right? To reach out to them, protect yourselves. Don't put yourself in a position where you are alone with someone, where the shaitan may have an influence on this interaction, right? So I try to practice what I preach, and I try my best to, for even in my personal life, I try to apply that as much as possible to not be in a situation where those isolated conversations take place. That's number one. Number two, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this as well, by the way, so in the chat. But the second issue for me is that in my experience, when I have come across these questions that people ask, it's one of two types of questions. Either it's, let's take the easier one first, it's a fiqh question, right? Someone needs a ruling, someone needs a fatwa, right? They say, is this halal or not? Is this haram? What should I do in this situation? So on and so forth. Well, one of the responsibilities of someone who is being asked a question, who's being asked for a ruling, is to know and understand the person that they are giving the fatwa or giving the answer to. And it is very difficult to do that in an online message or an email, let alone in many of those cases, I would need much more information than what is being presented to me. And I don't want to give an under-informed answer, right? Even a person's culture can make a difference in how I would respond to that particular question or what type of answer would be given. This is something, by the way, I cover in detail in one of my seminars called Trends. We talk about how culture can affect a fiqh ruling. In a certain culture, something may be considered acceptable and normal. In another culture, it may not be considered acceptable and normal. So if a person is in this culture, the scholars in that culture may say, yeah, it's fine. In another culture, scholars may say, you know what? This is not okay. I'll give you an example of this. And I know this is going to spur a lot of questions. Maybe we'll keep this for another, this topic for another time. But the question of, is a woman, we'll keep men out of it for now, is a woman allowed to get her nose pierced, right? And I'd like to hear what you guys think about this first. What do y'all think? Is it permissible for a woman to get her nose pierced or not? Is it okay? Any thoughts? Any ideas? What do y'all think? Is it okay? Is it not okay? The answer to this really depends a lot, depends on the culture. In certain cultures, a woman getting her nose pierced is very normal. As a matter of fact, not only is it normal, it's not only is it acceptable, it's the norm. So in like South Asia, for example, you know, Pakistan, India, those countries, If a woman has her nose pierced, nobody thinks twice about it. It doesn't look odd. It doesn't look weird or whatever. In other cultures, it may be kind of weird for a woman to have her nose pierced. In some Arab cultures, it's not normal. Women don't have their noses pierced. So if the scholars over there are asked, should I get my nose pierced? The scholars will likely say it's better not to do that because that's not normal in our society. On the other hand, in a different culture, it may not be a big deal for a woman to have her nose pierced. So here's a case where culture makes a big difference. And I'm not going to get into men having their ears pierced. Maybe this is a question we'll answer in another live session. Inshallah, is it permissible for men to get their ears pierced? We'll leave that topic for now. But that's number one. Right? So it's a fiqh question. Even a fiqh question, it's very difficult for me to answer just through a message. The second type of question is advice. Someone says, I need your advice, right? For example, I'm having problems with my husband. I need your advice. I'm having problems with my wife. I need your advice. I'm having problems with my in-laws. I'm having problems with my parents. I'm having problems with my children. Whatever issue, I'm having this difficulty at work. I'm going through this with whatever in the masjid. Whatever the issue is, a person says, I need advice. That is even more of a serious issue for me, even though the fiqh questions are serious as well. But that is even can become even more serious because I'm lacking even more information. I would need even more information to answer that question because there's so much more than I would need to know. In most cases, I would need to really understand what is happening here to give advice. Not only that, I would actually need to hear both sides of the story. If someone says, I'm having problems with my wife, right? I would say, okay, let me hear your problems and let me hear what your wife is saying as well. On top of that, it requires an extended back and forth, right? Which, as I said, going back to point number one, the issue of having those private conversations, it's going to be very, very difficult. On top of that, I recommend, and I usually, when I see questions like that, I very quickly see, look, this person doesn't need a quick answer. They don't need me to say, hey, you know what? Just do this. What they actually need is counseling, right? Counseling means that they sit down with someone who can listen to them, who can hear them, who can understand their background, and who can counsel them. One of the things that people don't realize a lot of times is that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself, he would actually counsel people in a lot of cases. It wouldn't be that he would say, you know what, do this, get out of here, and go. He would understand the person who was asking the question. He would talk to them. He would talk to them based off of who they are. He would understand their background, and he would counsel them. Just like that young man, and I'm not going to get into too much detail regarding this incident, but just like that young man who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, make zina halal for me, make it permissible for me to commit zina. The Prophet ﷺ didn't say, it's haram, get out of here, leave. The Prophet ﷺ counseled him. He spoke to him. He said, you know, would you like this for your female relatives? He talked to him. He had a conversation with him. And that is what is required in a lot of these cases. And I understand that sometimes people don't have access to someone that they can call up or they can reach out to. Maybe they don't have a local counselor. Therapy, yes. You know, as someone said, counseling and therapy. In many of these cases, people need therapy. And I know a lot of times in certain cultures, there's a taboo. There's a stigma when it comes to getting therapy, when it comes to going seeking counseling. It's looked down upon. But it is my opinion, and Allah knows best, that we need to remove this stigma, right? That this shouldn't be a taboo issue, that counseling is actually part of our deen to get, but it should be counseling from someone who is qualified to give counseling. Many times people who give counseling are not qualified to give counseling. That's another topic for another time. But simply answering a question on a private message, to me, oftentimes can do more damage than good. So those are some of my reasons why I don't do DMs, why I don't do private messaging. I tend to stay away from that. And also, if it's really about learning, you know, to me, learning should happen in a classroom environment, in an environment where there can be some back and forth. Even an environment like this, right? So I'm more open to discussing topics in this live environment because now you're here in the chat. You can ask your question. You have some clarification you need. We can discuss this issue. There can be a real conversation instead of just one-sided or one person just gives their side. And the other issue, even oftentimes people say to me, like, why don't you respond to comments online? Well, maybe that's a topic for another time. And I don't know if I have a lot of time to get into that right now, but it's a very similar problem when it comes to comments. What do you do? Marwa is asking, what do you do when people leave negative comments or trolling on your videos? My personal way of dealing with this, and those people who know me, they know this is how I deal with it. Number one, I generally don't get into the comments. I actually, you know, and I hate to say this, a lot of times I don't read the comments, especially if there's like a lot going on. I won't read the comments. And I do have admins on my pages that will check the comments, make sure there's nothing offensive or nothing rude or nothing bad being said, and they'll filter out those comments. And I've told my admins, if anyone is being rude, if anyone is using foul language, if anyone is insulting people, delete their comment and let them know. Or if they do it multiple times, block them, like ban them from the page. I have no problem banning people from my page. There are plenty of other places that they can go if they want to be negative and they want to be condescending and rude and mean. I don't want that on my page. So leave it. Generally, you know, I leave it to my admins to recognize trolling. And the best way to deal with a troll is to not respond to them. What a troll is looking for is a response. That's what they want. They want a reaction out of you. So the best thing we can do when someone does something like that is to leave them be, right? But if it is, like I said, if it's offensive, if it's rude, if they are, you know, if it's just bad, then that comment should be deleted and the person should be blocked or removed from the page. So that's the way I deal with it. You know, honestly, as I said, that type of issues should rather be covered in person, you know, to get rid of that whole situation. Zohair said, would a conversation between a brother and a sister in Islam in a public domain with other people surrounding them also be considered khalwa? Good question. It really depends, right? So there's many, and there's more detail to the issue of khalwa, which really should be studied in detail. And perhaps, and I actually do cover this in one of my classes. We do go over the issue of khalwa in more detail. But in general, if it is a public environment and other people can hear what you're saying, and then it would not be considered khalwa. One of the things that I would tell you, one of the disclaimers I should say that I'll give, one of the things I watch out for is that sometimes we can be in an environment where we are surrounded by other people, but they don't care. And so it's almost as if we're alone. So I'll give you an example of this. Someone goes to a restaurant and they're surrounded by other people. Let's say they're in a non-Muslim country or in a country where they're the Muslims on the minority, right? So it's non-Muslims, and you go to a non-Muslim environment, and even if the guy and girl are saying like super flirtatious things to one another, like super inappropriate stuff in terms of Islamically inappropriate, the people wouldn't really care about it, and they may not even really care to listen. That could be considered khalwa, because now even though there's people around them, a person doesn't feel any type of shyness or shame in saying something which is Islamically wrong. So that's something to watch out for. But in general, a person should, in general, yes, if we're surrounded by other people and they can hear what we're saying, then that would not be considered khalwa. And I often say, look, if you're ever in doubt, just ask a person of knowledge, right? Say like, okay, this is happening. Do you think I should be here? Do you think I should be in that environment or not? If there's a video on YouTube and you leave an open message on the video and there's a response to that question where everyone can see that comment, is that okay? Yeah. So in general, comments on videos is a public environment, right? So this is, everyone can see your comment. Everyone can see the reply. So that is not considered khalwa, right? So there's other people there. Inshallah ta'ala, that is not considered khalwa. That's a very good question. So public, this is considered a public domain, a public environment. That would be something which is okay. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Any other questions or comments? I'm surprised people are quite understanding of my reasoning. Generally, I found a lot of pushback when I say like I don't do DMs, I don't do private messaging. People are like, why not? But there's so much benefit and so on and so forth. But yeah, that's my reasoning. Someone said, what if, SSSAAA. I don't know your name, but that's your screen name on here. What if you're working on something together? Look, even if you're working on something together, it should not be a enclosed environment, right? So it should not be an environment where it's like a private room and nobody else is there. And I understand there are certain situations where it's out of our control. Those are exceptions. So for example, you get onto the elevator and someone comes into the elevator and, you know, and you press the button and khalas, you're in the elevator with someone. And I mean, that's just, that's the circumstance. That's the situation. There's nothing you can really do about that. And you're not going to like be like, stop the elevator, press the emergency button and run out, whatever. You know, inshallah, this is, you know, like a 10 second ride or 8 second, whatever, 5 second ride. You just khalas, like that's what you can do. Fattaqullaha mastata'tum, right? Have the taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability. Right, so those are exceptions. But in general, whatever is in our capability, what we have control over, we should try our best to, you know, avoid that situation. Sara, Sister Sara, Jazakallah khair, Jazakallah khair. When will the next open Q&A be coming up? So generally, I try to do it every Sunday. So last 3 weeks, every Sunday, we'll be doing it around this time. If you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, make sure, it sounds weird for me to say this, subhanAllah, because you know I have this thing about sounding like a YouTuber, right? But I have to say this. So subscribe to the channel, hit the bell button, right? The alert, so you get an alert when these live sessions are taking place. I usually a few days ahead of time I post the session, so you know what it's about, you know what time it is, and you can join in live, inshallah ta'ala. So subscribe to the YouTube channel, and also share this with others if you think others would benefit. And also, when this is over, I always go back to the comments as well. So if you have any suggestions of topics or particular questions that you think we should discuss on these live sessions, I'm open to it, inshallah. Any particular topics you want to talk about, we can have a live discussion about it. That would be totally awesome. Imad said, speaking of khalwa, in the case of getting to know someone for marriage, can I ask for space when talking to a potential to an extent where the mahrams can still hear us, but they're not right next to us? Yeah, so this, in my opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, would be an exception, right? So the exception is, you know, it's not really a true exception because there's someone still there. Even if they can't hear you, right, you want to be open to express yourself. That is completely understandable. They can see you. That will, inshallah ta'ala, be enough where a person is cautious and conscious of what they're saying. So even if they can't hear exactly what you're saying, inshallah ta'ala, that is an acceptable environment, especially if it's a case of marriage and it's a case of, you know, they're right there. You can see, like, let's see, you can see the girl's father, or, you know, you can see their family. You're not going to start flirting or whatever. May Allah protect us, right? You never know. But in general, a person hopefully won't go down that route when, you know, the girl's father or brother or whatever is sitting right there, even though they can't hear you. In general, a person won't be, hopefully, tempted to do something like that. So that is, inshallah, protecting oneself and in that case. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Very good question. What age should you start teaching children about mahram, non-mahram? Look, the closer they get to puberty, because that is the age where obviously their desires begin to become an issue. And it's also the age of accountability. As they're getting close to the age, this conversation should definitely take place. Not only for the sake of like halal and haram, but also to protect our children from abuse. Because there are many cases we have seen, subhanAllah, there's many cases of abuse when children are not informed, right? And, you know, especially young girls, you know, they may fall victim because someone can come from the perspective of, may Allah protect us. Sometimes it can be a person in a position of leadership. It could be, you know, a public speaker or a person, may Allah protect us, a person of knowledge who says, you know what, come, I'll counsel you in private, you know, or I'll teach you Quran, may Allah protect us, right? I'll teach you Quran in private, right? This is something that we don't want to put our daughters, our children, even boys in this type of situation where they're alone. So we need to teach our kids, like, look, don't be alone with someone that is not, yani, someone who is you're related to or in that situation. So this is something we need to have and thank you so much for bringing this up. We should definitely be having this conversation with our children, especially, you know, other issues of gender interaction, touch. You know, touch is one of those rules, right? We don't touch the opposite gender. And that should be very clear for our children that no one is allowed to touch you, Right? It doesn't matter if they're a Quran teacher or whatever it be, this person should not be touching you in any way, right? That touch should not be there. So these conversations should be happening the earlier, the better. As we said, you know, if the age of puberty actually is too late because they're already into it. So it should happen before the age of puberty. And obviously every child is different in terms of their maturity, but this is something that we should be talking to them from an early age. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, I've hit the half an hour mark. I promised myself I wouldn't make these live sessions longer than half an hour, so I'm going to have to cut it off here. Thank you to everyone for your wonderful questions and having this discussion with me. I look forward to seeing you next Sunday, inshallah. I will announce the time, but as I said, if you're subscribed to my YouTube channel, you'll get a notification and you'll know exactly when these questions are. It's nice to see some of the regulars who are able to join us because we can build a rapport and you'll get an idea of how these go. And as I said, please share this with others and let them know about these live sessions. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I'll catch you in the next one. Inshallah, take care. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.